The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Again, the good news is USA Today thinks the Packers will go 13-4 this season. I assume they believe that Jordan Love will be under center for the season, which is something that we do think is going to happen.
Oh, hi. Welcome back. How were the shows?
Great, I had fun. Where's the TV? Where's the VCR?
They were stolen.
Stolen?
The bad news is they think they will lose in the Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers. And Joshy, with not an ounce of hyperbole, said that would be the worst day of his life.
Someone left the door open.
You left the door open?
Oh, I was cooking and I came in to get the spatula.
And Joshy, I believe you were once held up at gunpoint. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure was. Yeah. It'd be a walk in the park in comparison. I've staked my whole reputation on this. I can't have him win the Super Bowls without the Packers.
I want a minute.
I left the door open because I was going to bring the spatula right back.
Wait, you left the lock open or the door open?
The door.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She
well, it took a little
ride.
Longer than we initially
cool
thought.
She's too excited, her man look
oh,
like
did you think I was talking about a Jordan Love contract? No, I'm not. That's not what. That is going to take longer than we thought. We'll get to that as the show goes on this morning. No, I'm talking about the Brewers' victory over the Cubs last night. 1-0 at Wrigley Field. Bit of a delay as the skies opened up down there at the friendly confines. And today is the day that Gabe is taking in a game for the very first time at Wrigley Field. Are you excited? Oh, looking forward to it?
Very much excited. I checked the weather forecast. Today looks like it's going to be a sunny, beautiful day for baseball outside in Chicago. Beautiful way for the Brewers to close out their season series with the Cubs with a win today.
I believe they did secure the season series win over the Cubs last night with the victory. And have you been warming up your voice? As you said, you were going to boo Craig Counsell down there in Chicago this afternoon.
Yeah, you don't need much warming up. I mean, the boo's the easy part.
I don't think
you just
got to
get a little bass in your voice.
Why does it matter? They're not even relevant. Who cares? We're moving on.
Yeah, oh. After this game, we move on.
Do you want him back based upon where the Brewers are at right now? Do you want Craig Counsell back?
That
no, then who cares?
That doesn't matter.
Really?
Moving on from Brett was the right decision.
Did you boo him?
Of course.
You're mean.
When he went to
but
the Vikings.
Not loudly. It was more of like a...
No, Brett, if I was at Lambeau Field, that would have been a... With everything I've got.
Really?
Yeah, that was bigger than what Craig
down
did.
Down from oh, yeah. Like the depths.
Bleep that guy.
All right.
What about the Super Bowl? You going to boo Aaron when he plays the Packers?
Enough out of you. 7:03, and that is quite enough.
I mean, I'm going to be more worried about Joshy in that situation.
Voodoo balls.
I'm going to have to be like
magic. I go to
voodoo
around Josh,
great.
Making sure he's mentally stable.
I actually am with Chewy a little bit. I think it's lost a little of the luster with how much that team is struggling. To the south of us. If they were better, if they were competing with the Brewers for the top spot in the NL Central, I could see people being like, keep it up, keep it going, But since they're so, here's the thing. Chu, you said they're 4.5 games back. Like all of a sudden, I'm sorry, they're 10 games back.
Yeah.
Looked at the wrong column on
I was
the
like,
thing.
What?
Yeah, 10 games back. Think 10 games is too much?
Oh, it's done.
Yeah, but it's
you guys don't appreciate enough dancing on people's graves.
Yeah. Like Craig just snapping at the reporter because he didn't like the way that somebody characterized a swing from his player the other day. Oh,
Jesse Rogers,
fantastic.
Too, by the way. Like long time ESPN Cubs reporter. Like Jesse could have pulled the old thing like, hey, I've been around here longer than you have, pal. if he wanted to. So that is today. Gabe is going down to Wrigley. First experience at Wrigley Field. We are very excited for him as a baseball junkie to check another ballpark off of his list. Yesterday, however, you were at AmFam Field doing an event for X-Golf, and you got to check something off of your proverbial Wisconsin sports bucket list.
Yeah, I got to go down Bernie's slide yesterday. Great time. They've got a great promotion going on. You make a hole-in-one at X-Golf at AmFam Field. You and a friend get to come back and go down Bernie's slide. So me and Steven Watson, to kind of help throw out some promotion on social media, we went down Bernie's slide yesterday.
Were you concerned at all that you were going to break your arm?
Not even a little bit.
Wait a minute. What do you mean not even a little bit? You saw the video of that guy from 2 years ago, I think it was, a visiting reporter as he was covering his team, playing the Brewers at, I think, which was then Miller Park. Went down the slide, hit the wall, showed up on television in a cast.
Yeah.
Well, we determined that he's a NARP. Well, he's got to be.
You got to remind all the people at home what that acronym is.
Non-athletic regular person. Do you think the guy was a NARP?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
But like,
wait, why do you think that?
Because there was, I have no idea how he broke his arm. It makes no sense how he broke his arm to me. And maybe the Brewers changed some things. They didn't say that they've changed some things of people going down there, because you have to sit on like this burlap sheet when you go down. Like Bernie doesn't need anything because he's fuzzy. Yeah, he's you know.
It's costume.
Yeah, fuzzy.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap!
You can hear him at the back. You don't get anywhere near that wall. Like, you just don't get anywhere near that wall when you're going down. It's fun. You're going at a decent amount of speed, but then you hit the bottom and it's like carpeted and you just kind of.
There's a little part of me that thinks that the video was propaganda put out by the Milwaukee Brewers to discourage people from trying to go down the slide, because they were like, look, we got a lot of requests. We cannot honor them all. How can we make people hesitant to go down Bernie's slide? I know, we'll pull in a NARP, have him go down, have him show up in a cast, and then maybe people will be, because I will admit, having seen that video, and I don't consider myself a NARP, but Chewy might, I should, you know, I don't want him to answer that question, actually.
We call you something else.
Does it have four letters also?
Five.
It's
like five.
Never mind. I was thinking of a different four-letter one, but
whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
That's what I was saying.
The way, seriously, we're going all the way to the end of the road here.
That's why I was comfortable.
But it did make me a little hesitant. It was like, oh, maybe it is faster than I thought, more dangerous than I thought, and therefore I was like, maybe a younger me would be more capable of getting away, with that without getting hurt.
But so Steven Watson was also a little nervous because he's also in television, saw the television guy break his arm. But I was just thinking the entire time, like, if there was that high of a risk of me breaking my arm, there's no way the Brewers are giving me this waiver to sign anyway. There's no way they're letting me climb up the ladder, go up there, and go down. And my buddy, who's the general manager and pro at X-Golf at AmFam Field, he's like, yeah, I've done this before. It's fine.
It looks like a slide from the playground that you drive by every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bigger.
It is?
It's not steeper. It is steeper. It looks
steeper. Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you got to, it's got a good little curve to it. It's a lot of fun. I cannot recommend it enough, but there's at no point that I ever feel like, oh, I'm in danger of hurting myself.
Is the carpet addition new to slow down, create some friction to stop you from hitting that back wall?
Maybe. You're the one who just looked at the video.
It's a
burlap sack, right?
He's on a burlap sack, yep. But the landing platform is a tan surface. I can't make out what it is because it's just a video clip.
Okay.
But it's just like a tan. But, I mean, he slides across that. It doesn't look like burlap hitting carpeting.
Yeah, because it's carpet. They've got a picture of, like, home plate there, and it's like, yeah, it's a carpeted area.
I think that's an addition.
Okay. Maybe that's how he ended up. But even then, like, I don't feel like I was going fast enough when I got to the bottom of the slide. Even if there wasn't the carpeting at the bottom, A, you could just pop up, or, like, to go that fast to crash into the wall, to pin your arm against the wall and break it.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Seemed tough.
So is Bernie's slide the number one Wisconsin sports bucket list item? And here's why I think it does have to be maybe top three. Maybe I'm not thinking of some things, but it has to be top three. Because of the exclusivity. Lambeau Field is probably number one bucket list item for a lot of Wisconsin sports fans. But You can go to Lambeau Field. You can take in a game. Mm-hmm. You can take in a preseason game. You can take in family night, the scrimmage or the practice or whatever it is being called.
You can do a tour.
Whatever. Yeah. And also you can pay to get a tour of Lambeau Field. So it feels like from an accessibility standpoint, more people can check that off their proverbial list than they could Bernie Slide, which again, you guys are offering this opportunity. Yeah.
Just go make a hole in one. It's super easy.
Super easy to do. It's, we're opening it up to everybody, as you can see. Except you NARPs out there.
Don't even give it a shot.
Chewy, is it the number one thing you think for sports fans that they don't really get to do as often as they might want to?
Lambeau or the slide?
The slide.
No, I think the sausage race. People would want to do that more.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I wanted to compete in the sausage race like late 20s, early 30s when I was faster to see if I could set whatever record they had. That's what I wanted to do.
Sprint it?
Yeah.
How do they decide? Full bore. Is that a contest too to get into the sausage races?
I don't think so. I mean, they've done different celebrity ones. Like I remember when Stephen Colbert was here, like he entered and I think they put like his glasses on the hot dog or whatever. So you knew it was him under that. But typically, I think they kind of keep the, you know, whoever's inside of the suit, pretty
it's the
anonymous.
Grounds crew, isn't it?
But I mean, every once in a while,
it's part of their like team that does the promotions. Gabe, we could get you in that still.
Wait, hold on.
So Homer tried and couldn't get me in.
I want to do the racing sausage.
How long ago?
When I wanted to do it, like I don't know, probably at this
things
point.
Things have changed around.
Yeah. Also, don't you think you're a little more established at this point? Maybe you got a little more clout than you might have.
Maybe the studio
15 years ago,
20 yards away, broadcasts it.
Why don't the Packers have something in the Hall of Fame or outside the stadium where people could attempt the Lambeau Leap? Liability?
Well, so, they have that statue out front.
But it's the wall is not very high.
I'm guessing it's liability. I'm guessing the number of people who would try to get up there and slip and fall and break something.
Also, the NARPs just wouldn't be able to get up.
Yeah.
They used to have like a kid fan fest thing around training camp. Because I remember going up there a couple of times and like they had the jugs machine and you would dive to make a catch and land on some padding. And they had like, you're on a 40-yard dash and they had a Lambeau Leap thing there. I don't know why they stopped doing like the kid fan fest
thing. Are you saying that the Lambeau Leap would skyrocket to number one as far as Wisconsin sports bucket list items, if they had that?
I think people would just be interested, like where Leroy went up.
Yeah.
Or Robert, because Robert was actually the first one. I don't think people realize how high that wall is. It's pretty high.
Oh, yeah. It's what everybody says.
I mean, think about when Adam jumped on it and tried to do it at a Monday night game.
Thought we established we're not allowed to call it Adam. Speaking of those, you know, he's joining the show in 17
minutes. I did want to say
it,
but I said, what the hell?
If you called Adam Schefter a NARP when he joined us, do you think he would agree?
I'd like to see his resume. What sports he has played in high school.
Sure.
I don't think he played at Michigan. I don't think there's a sport he could play at Michigan. Women's sports included.
This feels dangerous. Let's move on. 800-990-3776. Gabe got to go down Bernie Slide yesterday at AmFam Field. What are the other great Wisconsin sports traditions that everyone needs to experience? Because I do think that the slide and the racing sausages, there's an exclusivity there. Not a lot of people get to do it. It's not like, you know, you walk into a group of people. You walk into the tailgate parking lot at AmFam Field. We're talking about a very, very, very small percentage of those folks who cheer on the Brewers, who support the Brewers, who are at a lot of games, who can say that they have done the slide or the racing sausages. Jump around. Everybody gets to jump around, right? Like, that's a huge Wisconsin sports tradition, obviously, at Camp Randall. But if you're in the stadium in between the third and fourth quarter, you're participating in that tradition. You're going to make a joke about the student section, but now that they're selling alcohol, I feel like maybe
I was thinking, I wasn't going to make a joke. I was thinking jump around at night is different. Like for a primetime game, it's different because the energy is a little more amped up for a game under the lights.
And do you know they actually put
amped up in quotation marks?
Do you know there's shock absorbers underneath that section? You did know that.
Okay. So when I used to cover games there, when I was working for our Madison station, they had the old tube TVs like above us. I was terrified those things were coming down. Because they would just rock back and forth and back and forth. They're like, I don't know how that thing's not going to fall.
It registers on the Richter scale.
Does it? Okay. Yeah. Does the Bucks have anything? Any tradition for their fans? Not really?
Not really.
I wanted to make the cricket sound effect, but I don't think I can.
Yeah, I don't think they've got anything. No.
They did have that like fan section, but that was...
They still do.
Oh, that's actually decent. I mean, it's I've sat behind it, and it's fun to be a part of, but it's very small. And I think you have to like... There's like an application process.
Yeah, like an audition process.
And did that start with Andrew Bogut all those years ago? Mm-hmm. Kind of bringing like the
Squad
soccer
six.
Mentality over to the arena. No. Maybe the Bucks could think of something. Maybe they need to do something. It feels like we're scratching the bottom of the barrel here. What are we forgetting? What are we missing? Wisconsin sports.
Mark Murphy's Hill.
Good one.
Get me on a tube and send me down that sucker.
Is that what they're going to do for his big last retirement? They walk over there and they've given him a plaque at the bottom of the hill. They unveil a Mark Murphy Sledding Hill plaque.
Yeah, let's hopefully Jordan Love signed by then.
By when?
By the time Murphy retires.
I thought you were convinced he was signing by, Monday. And then now it's by family night,
well,
right?
Well, I didn't realize that stupidity factored into this thing. So
Maybe we should get into that. 800-990-3776. Gabe got to go down Bernie's slide yesterday at AmFam Field, checking off a bucket list item as a Wisconsin sports fan. What is the number one Wisconsin sports bucket list item? 800-990-3776. There's got to be things we're not thinking of. Oh, I told you guys, I took a circle at Road America. Got to ride. Now I was on a super bike. I wasn't in a vehicle. I was on a super bike. I do not recommend that. It was the scariest bleeping thing I've ever done in my entire life, hands down. And I've had children. Want to just put that out there, like to compare Aaron Rodgers winning the Super Bowl with Joshy getting held up at gunpoint. I've had children, and that was still the worst experience of my life.
I've got another one that I do not understand, and it's never been explained to me. The skiing in Wisconsin is very... It's very... What is the ski thing with the shot?
Oh, the shot ski?
The shot ski?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We're going to need to put a pin in this. We're going to need to No. We're going to need a lot more time to unwrap this little gift. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another. I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Schefter joins the show in about 10 minutes, but we cannot, will not, shall not skip over Chewy not knowing what a shotski is. Now, he did inform us during the break that as a Polish person, he doesn't think you should be able to add the word ski to the end of something.
Oh, so you know what, brewski? Is that unfamiliar with a brewski?
Is that all it is, though?
Yeah.
It's because it's a shotski?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're pretty...
it seems like you're caught up.
Pretty locked in.
Yeah. Same thing as a brewski.
Have you done a shot ski?
No.
Have you seen people
I've seen them, yes.
Okay, so you understand that it's on a ski.
Correct.
And it's shot glasses.
And that's it.
I think we're done. Let's move on.
Thought there was more to it.
No.
Franz Klammer went up to Granite Peak and broke the world record. And
just throwing the word ski on the end of things. Same thing with, again, a brewski.
Is that it though? A Brotsky?
That's really all you got to do. And then someone went, "Oh, shot ski," and then put shot glasses on a ski.
Wait, is that like a Wisconsin exclusive tradition?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's Austrian in origin.
Oh,
Austrian skiers were the first to use it, and it used to be called a schnapp ski because you would take shots of schnapps. And it used to not actually have them affixed to it, like how there's places to put the glasses.
Yeah, it's like a
It used to just be a game, like. Can we all take the shot and balance
keep
them?
The shot glass on the ski. Yes. Interesting. See, now that's athletic. And then they realized that there were a lot of NARPs out there, and they're like,
if we want to really make money off this.
Now, I did know that drinking is a sport in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Did know.
How long did it take you to move here and realize that drinking was a sport here?
Couple months.
Probably not long.
It wasn't long.
12 hours?
Yeah.
Before we get to Adam Schefter, let's get to the latest on Jordan Love. Jordan Love did sit out again yesterday, as we expected him to do. There is still no deal in place. And I don't know, guys. Starting to get a vibe that, this could take a while. that this will not be as easy as it seems. And I can't help but wonder, guys, if the Green Bay Packers brass thinks Jordan, and I said this yesterday, thinks Jordan's camp is going to blink first. Thinks that Jordan, and again, I said this yesterday, if you missed any of it, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, or you can keep listening because I'm about to repeat myself. He's 25 years old. There is going to be a moment where he gets antsy, Gabe. He is watching Sean Clifford out there taking the number one reps. He is watching Michael Pratt out there taking the number two reps. And he's going to want to be throwing to his guys. He's going to be want to be in there, mixing it up, getting the timing down with whatever the offensive line ends up looking like. And I think that his agents are going to have to keep telling him, I know, we know, you can't.
What's something you love to do, Jen? Just absolutely love to do?
Sleep.
If I offered you a $150 million lottery ticket, how much could you put off sleep? Even if you really wanted it. But hey, here's $150 million if you don't fall asleep.
Well, this is a bad example because eventually I do have to sleep. I can't just
hypothetically.
Like, I can't just like hold off on sleep until, I don't know, the first game of the season, if you will.
But the thing is, I get the antsiness. I've been there. But there's no threat whatsoever of being wally-pipped. There's none. Most times that is your biggest concern. Like, ooh, if I sit out and he starts playing well and we're here. No, Sean Clifford is not the guy. The thing I don't understand, and I went through it, is when Sterling Sharp stood up on a Saturday night in our team meeting, he asked all the coaches to leave and said, guys, I'm not playing tomorrow unless I get a new contract, right? Half the team didn't agree with it. We thought it was the most selfish thing ever. This should have been. If you had a problem, you don't do it the night before we're opening up against the Minnesota Vikings. You know what the Packers did? They paid him. Now, if we find out Jordan Love is asking for an ungodly amount, if he's asking for $60 million, then it's on him. But I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
Well, and the difference here is, like, if Sterling started his holdout and was asking for something reasonable day one of training camp,
yes,
and the Packers still hadn't paid him coming up on that Saturday,
sure,
are you going, Sterling, come on, man, we need you? Or are you going, Packers, what the hell are you doing? You know what this guy wants. It's reasonable. Just pay him his money.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the other thing that is so frustrating, I think. And so frustrating is obviously relative, but I think it's going to get increasingly frustrating for Packers fans is these negotiations could have started back in May. And they likely did. There was probably an initial offer thrown out there several months ago. And you go, okay, opening offer, initial offer, doesn't really matter. And we're going to move on from there. We're going to get the number up. But I don't think that Jordan Love's people are going to move. I think they have crunched the numbers. They have seen the market. Again, to your point, Gabe, which you have said multiple times here on this show, if you got it done before the Jared Goffs, if he got it done before the Trevor Lawrence, you're not on the hook for as much money as you are right now.
These negotiations should have started, middle of February? Just because he couldn't sign anything doesn't mean you couldn't have the deal done in place. How many times have we seen trades? Oh, we have to wait until this date until this trade's official, but everything's been agreed to and the Adam Schefters of the world are out there order reporting it. That's what happened when Matthew Stafford went from Detroit to Los Angeles to play for the Rams. Like, that deal was done like before the Super Bowl. Couldn't be officially executed until after. But why couldn't you have done the same thing? Start these negotiations in February, then on May 2nd, 3rd, whatever it was, have that piece of paper ready for him to sign. He signs it, and none of this happened.
I really think they were blindsided by him not participating.
That's on them.
I really think it was. They're like, well, what do you mean you're not going to practice? You know? And that goes to part of the arrogance, I think, of this organization from the top down. It's just, you always have to have a contingency plan. This could happen. And if it does, what are we going to do? Now, like I said, if we find out Jordan's asking for $60 million in all the contract guaranteed, then it's on. Then I will light him up. But I don't think that's the case. I really don't. And it goes back to the communication thing. This is ridiculous. Coaches should have been in his ear. Hey, what are you going to do? Hey, I'm telling you, he's going to sit out if we don't pay him. And the mojo is not worried yet, but the mojo's going. You guys feel it? Like, come on. We're a top team in the NFC trying to win a Super Bowl that we haven't had in 15 years. And this is the issue?
Well, and it is well known inside NFL circles that Russ Ball moves slowly. He's not one of these guys who quickly throws a deal together. And even I would imagine that if you're in negotiations, there's sort of a process that he is going through. But I think Packers fans should continue preparing themselves for the possibility of Jordan Love sitting out for a long time this offseason. I think they should prepare themselves for that. Because my guess is that's what Jordan Love's agents have prepared him for.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting that out there. We got Adam Schefter coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's see what Adam thinks about the latest in the Jordan Love saga. Should we start playing the Green Bays of our lives again? Are we there yet? Soon-ish?
At the end of the week, if we're not there, then we start.
Green Bays of our lives comes back. Go ahead, Gabe.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL Insider Adam Schefter.
It'll be up to Russ Ball to see if he can get this deal done, wants to get it done. Don't think that they're anywhere close to getting it done right now. And those are conversations that'll occur here.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. If you're looking for top-notch orthopedic care, OAW's team of doctors has been nominated for Milwaukee Magazine's Top Doctors. From sports injuries to joint replacements, their doctors are dedicated to providing personalized, compassionate care. You can experience the OAW difference by going to their website, orthowisconsin.com. We are so thankful to have Adam Schefter as we continue Jordan Love Watch 2024 here in the great state of Wisconsin. Adam, how are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year.
Football, New Year.
Don't get Gabe started, Adam. Do not get Gabe started.
This isn't the official start of football, Adam. We've got so much longer to go. Like, a lot of this is just fluff. It's guys saying that they're in the best shape of their life. Whether that matters when you're in, you know, shorts and a helmet, who knows if that matters.
But Rashawn Gary is getting a lot of love. He is having a fantastic training camp thus far in helmets and shorts. Your Chewy kids stand it when people go crazy about the first few days of training camp. All right, Adam, here's where we want to start with you, obviously. What is the latest you are hearing with the Jordan Love contract situation?
You know, it's a lot like last week when we talked. I said at that point in time, I believe that they're working to getting it done. They could get it done. There was a chance they wouldn't get it done. I still think that in the end, there is too much that they've done. They're too far along in my mind that it's hard to imagine that it wouldn't get done. But that possibility exists that they can't figure it out. They can't get it across the finish line. I think they will. I think that when we talk about that deck, Prescott contract that looms out there, you want this deal done before then. You do not want Jordan Love's deal to follow Dak Prescott's deal if you are the Green Bay Packers. And you have a roadmap to getting this deal done, whether you like it or not. Joe Burrow came in at 55. Trevor Lawrence came in at 55. So it shouldn't be all that difficult to figure it out. Both sides sound like they're motivated to get it done. And if there is an agreement that the guy's not going to practice, that, of course, Jordan Love first weighed in, the team signed off on it, didn't sound like they were upset about it, sound like they were complicit in it. To me, that tells me that they're confident that they're going to figure out a way to get this contract situation resolved sooner rather than later.
When does panic time start, Adam? If we get to family night, which is a week from Saturday, Is it time to really get concerned?
You know what, Joey? Here's the thing. I don't think it would be panic, but the longer it goes, let's be honest, the more it's going to come up, and the more people are going to start asking questions, and the more people are going to start to get uncomfortable and uneasy about it. Now, panic, that's a strong word. Panic, I would panic if we reached basically the end of the preseason and he still hasn't practiced and he hasn't been out there at all and the deal's not done. Now I'm starting to, even then I'm not panicky. I'm getting a little, I'm uneasy there. Panic is like Labor Day. Guy's not practicing and it's not done. That's panic.
Is there any chance that either side, once you get this far in the negotiations, kind of starts to get a little bit stubborn and dragged in to kind of make the whole charade worth it? Because if the Packers, Adam, end up giving him something similar or just beyond the Trevor Lawrence deal, I'm going to wonder, okay, what the hell took so long? Why did you wait? If you already knew that this was going to be the price, how did you not get this done before camp began?
Well, that is going to be the price. I mean, that that is going to be the price. I don't know that that's the hangup. And I don't know specifically what the hangup is, but I would imagine, you know, they're haggling over guaranteed money, structure, things like that. Like, you know, we all can do this deal and we can do the average I expect to be about 55. Is it going to be 55.25? Is it going to be 54.75? You know, and honestly, really that's secondary, because if you look at it, Joe Burrow's 55 is a lot stronger than Trevor Lawrence's 55 with the way the deal's set up. So that, in my mind, is what they're doing. Even if Jordan Love's deal comes in, I'm making this up again, 53. But maybe his guarantees and structure is stronger than Trevor Lawrence's. So you'd rather have the 53 than the 55 if you looked at it. But that's what I think they're going over. And I think it's taken the Packers a little bit of time to process and get their mind around the fact that it was what Jordan Love was saying, now that Trevor Lawrence's deal is done, and it's time for all sides to figure out a way to get this across the finish line.
Adam Schefter hanging out here with Jen Gabe and Chewy. All right, Adam, we get this all the time on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. We get this all the time on our YouTube comments. Of course, you can stream the show on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. People asking why Jordan just doesn't honor the contract that is in front of him. He obviously is under contract for this season, $11 million. And I got one staring at me right in the face. It's like any other person couldn't tell their employer that they're not working until they get a bigger deal. Can you please impart to our loyal listeners why it is not the same as every other Tom, Dick, and Harry out there with a job?
Yeah, I'll happily do my part, and we'll see how you all feel about this. But if that were the case, then why can NFL teams just simply turn around and cut a player when he's supposed to be making, let's say a player's got a four-year contract and he's making $10 million a year, and they cut him after 2 years and there goes the final $20 million on the deal. So NFL teams can do that, but NFL players can't. Now, if you're an NFL player, and there aren't a lot of them that has leverage, then to me, in the NFL, if you're a player, you exercise that leverage whenever you can. Jordan Love is in a unique position. Most quarterbacks are. That's why they're the starting quarterbacks. And so Matthew Stafford was considering not showing up to training camp. That was a conversation that he had, a debate he had. Is it worth it? I'm making $31 million. Now, the public would say, $31 million? Are you out of your... Of course you're showing up to work. Except, again, and I'm not siding with Matthew Stafford, but there are other quarterbacks making $24 million more than Matthew Stafford this year. Is that right? I don't know. Let me give you the most egregious example right now. Okay, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this one plays out. Jordan Love at 14, that's $41 million below market value. Why should Jordan Love show up when that money's not guaranteed, when they could just cut him and he doesn't see that, when he's the most important player on their team and the market value for a quarterback is in the mid-50s right now? Why are you showing up for $14 million? Like, that's crazy in my mind. And so the most egregious example that I started to touch on is Ja'Marr Chase. Have we seen all these wide receiver deals get done this offseason? What is the going rate for a good wide receiver right now? A great wide receiver, a receiver of his capabilities. It is north of $30 million. Justin Jefferson got 35. A.J. Brown got 32. Jalen Waddle, in a very strong deal, got a 28. Amon Ra, 30. What is Ja'Marr Chase worth? You, Tom, just a random question. What do you think he's worth? Give me a number, Jen.
Based upon Jefferson,
hey, what did Jefferson
getting
35? I mean, he's got to be right up there, right?
Amon Ra got 30. A.J. Brown got about 32. What is Ja'Marr Chase worth? Give me a...
33, 34.
Yeah, as the number one receiver there, for sure.
Ja'Marr Chase's base salary for this year is scheduled to be $1 million. $1 million. Okay? Now, if you are Ja'Marr Chase, he showed up yesterday. I'm just having this conversation because I'm curious about it myself. How do you approach this? Are you playing that out? Like, you could do that. That's an option for what you're playing the season for $1 million. Okay. Now, to me, that's crazy. That's crazy to step on a field when we think his number is somewhere in the 30s and he's signing a 4-year, we'll call it $120 million extension. What's the guarantee? $80, $90 million? Like, are you stepping on the field for $1 million? I'm not. Now, am I holding out? Fine. I'm one of the best wide receivers in all of football. I'm not risking my future for $1 million when I'm contract eligible. Too bad. That's how I feel. Now, again, the public isn't used to the idea. I used to think like that. Like, oh, you have a contract, you have to show up. But a player's shelf life in the NFL is minimal. He has only so many seasons and years when he can force his body to play a brutally demanding sport. He has so many years to make whatever money he can. They can cut him at any point without having to pay him that salary. And if you are fortunate enough and good enough in the National Football League as a player to have some sort of leverage, it should be used every time it can. Not every player is in that position. Probably on a roster, I would say 50 of the 53 players don't have that leverage, roughly. But the other three, I would use it every time I could if I were able.
Adam, why is Dak and Tua practicing? Especially Dak.
You know, everybody's got to make a decision. And Dak, let me just take a look at this. Dak right now is in the final year of his contract. No trade clause, no tag clause. He's already made Chewy a ton of money. I don't know what his career earnings are, but I would say they're about $100 million roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And he is close to the finish line where, having already secured his future, he's on the brink of looking at a deal that will make him the highest paid player of all time. So why is he practicing? That's why he's practicing, because he's close to the finish line and he could afford to be out there. So that's why he's, but Tua hasn't been paid yet, not in full. We know the going rate. Look, Tua and Jordan Love are in very similar situations. Tua is scheduled to make $23.17 million this season. He missed mandatory minicamp. He obviously has decided to show up for training camp. I think you show up with the idea that you're doing it in good faith, that you and the team will continue talking and you're going to give them a reason. Just like Jordan Love is there, even though he's not practicing, mm-hmm. That was worked out. So Tua has made the decision, I'm going to go. We're going to keep talking. We're going to work towards getting it done. The Dolphins want to get it done. Tua wants to get it done. And you'd like to think they will get it done. I don't think that Dak's in that situation. I don't think there's been a whole lot of conversation. Doesn't look like that deal is getting done. And Dak's saying, you don't want to pay me? No problem. I'll become a free agent and hit the market. Plus, Dak has already withstood significant injury. He's made money. He's that close to becoming a free agent. He can roll the dice, in my mind.
By the way, the career earnings for Dak, north of $162 million.
Yeah. Easier on the second deal. Yeah.
So, by the way, in the highly unlikely chance that he were to suffer a catastrophic injury in training camp, which, when was the last time that happened to a quarterback? Teddy Bridgewater went down in training camp. That was awful. Terrible. impacted his career. But has any other quarterback, has that happened to in the summer? Like, not many. Vinny Testaverde, I remember. It's very rare. It's very rare. Plus, you know, Dak's going to be smart in the sense that he's not going to be in the middle of a 7-on-7 drill, you know, running into somebody. And, you know, if they're going live, he's not going to sneak and sticking his head in there for the extra yard. He's not doing any of that stuff. He's got the red jersey on. He'll be smart.
Last thing for you, Adam. You mentioned yesterday that the 18-game NFL season continues to gain traction. Obviously, they would have to revisit the CBA in order to get this thing pushed through. But how confident are you that very soon the NFL season will, in fact, expand?
Well, what's very soon, Jen?
Well, what do you – I mean, give me a window. What do you think? 5 years? 3 years?
There's rumblings.
Yes.
Well, I'm just confused about how you have discussions at a very high level, but those very high level discussions aren't formal discussions.
Look, there haven't been any active negotiations yet. You know, this is still a ways away from happening. You know, again, it certainly feels like it's moving towards that. There's been enough conversation from enough people at enough levels that tells you that, in my mind, they're going to get to an 18-game season. They're going to get there. But the question is, how long will it take to get there? I don't think they're close to it right now. I don't think they're close, no matter what conversations they've had. But the idea is kicking around. And I guess I would say this. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. They have to figure out a way to have it happen. Chewy, how have you felt about playing 18 games as a player if you were still playing?
It'd be fine as long as I'm compensated.
That's the deal, right?
Yeah.
Would you want two buys?
The second buy? With the way they practice now, yeah, that wouldn't bother me. Two buys, yeah. Because I think, Adam, back in the day, we used to have two buys. Does that sound right?
In the 90s.
I don't remember that being.
In the 92 or 93 season, I think they experimented with it, too.
Yeah.
So you had two buys one of the years, and then they went back to the one buy in 94.
But the one buy was like week two or week three, which is totally useless because you're not banged up. So I think with 18, yeah, they might want to entertain that.
But again, you're going until President's Day then. I mean.
Yeah.
It's if again, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so not like some of the teams. They don't have to worry about that. But
most of the 30.
Adam, yesterday on the show, we talked about the USA Today prediction that the Green Bay Packers would, in fact, be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, only to lose to Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. This is what USA Today has predicted for the 2024 season. Joshy said it would be the worst day of his entire life for the Green Bay Packers to lose a Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers. Give us the feel on that team, the Jets out there. We don't pay a ton of attention to it here in Wisconsin, just peripherally with Rodgers being under center for this season. Are they a Super Bowl team?
Well, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, I think that they have enough talent to make a Super Bowl run. Now, to get to the Super Bowl, so much has to go right. It's hard to say that. Do I think they're capable of reaching the Super Bowl if Aaron Rodgers plays 17 games? I do. But it's also the Jets. And it just feels like with the Jets, something always goes wrong. It just does. Now, one of these years, maybe it's this year, it won't. And just like the Chicago Cubs overcame everything in their past, they won. And one day that'll happen for the Jets. And be great for them if that were this year. But it starts out yesterday with Hassan Reddick, the pass rusher that they traded for, no showing for training camp. That's not how you want to start out. And it's just, that's what happens with the Jets. There's always something that happens. It's just inevitable. It's like, it's crazy. Trust me, I grew up as a Jets fan. You know, I grew up in New York, and that was a team I rooted for, and I don't root for them anymore, but I have so many friends who do, and they drive me nuts. You know, it just, I can't take these texts. Like, I'm like, you don't understand. I don't care. I don't. That's your issue. Okay. You deal with your family if you want.
I got out. Yeah. You're not pulling me back in.
Yeah. I have no interest in being back in. It's not what I do. Not my desire. It's not happening. And so you keep on rooting for your football team, and I hope for your sake they do well. Good luck with that. It hasn't worked out for 50 years. Maybe this will be the year.
Sounds very optimistic. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Good insight and good stuff, especially on the Jordan Love situation, which we will be keeping, obviously, a very close eye on.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week. Happy New Year to everybody. Now you get it?
I got it now. I'm a little slow.
Okay, good. Happy New Year.
Adam brought to us each and every week by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you'd like to do in one awesome location. I'm going to be up there in a couple weeks playing some of the great golf they have. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Bubble is a
tuna.
Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once throw up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of our conversation with Adam Schefter, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. I don't know if you're subscribing to Scoop City, which is the Athletics NFL newsletter. That's the word I was looking for,
okay.
Gabe. Newsletter. But Diana Rossini just put it in her portion of the Scoop City newsletter. I expect the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love to strike a deal over the next few weeks of training camp, as both sides are optimistic a deal will get done. Based on conversations with sources, Love is expected to become the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. However... Love might only hold that title for a few weeks because the Dallas Cowboys are working hard to get Dak Prescott's deal done. Prescott could be the first quarterback to break the $60 million per year barrier. What are you waiting for, Russ Ball? What are you waiting for, Gabe?
How do you find few?
Few weeks?
Yeah.
Few weeks?
Yeah.
More than one.
Well, because, well, a couple, it's more than a couple, right? Because you say couple, a couple is very specific. That's two. So we're talking three or more. Like, isn't training camp only a few weeks? Like,
it is, correct. Yes, it is. And we will be in preseason games.
In a few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That makes me incredibly nervous.
Should.
That makes me nervous.
1 year I missed most of camp, came to the first game, I was good to go, and I wasn't ready to play. Just because I haven't had the reps. And I look at a quarterback as kind of like a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
I mean, pitchers need throws. They need, you know, where a quarterback needs timing, needs foot. It's all got to tie together. And that's not something, 3 days, I should be good. It's just not how it works.
But internally also, guys, I understand being diligent. I understand crossing your T's and dotting your I's and making sure that you're protecting the franchise as well with this deal. But if Dak Prescott's deal goes final before Jordan Love's does, Gabe, the old yesterday's price isn't today's price mantra feels very relevant.
You know who else was probably diligent? The Detroit Lions. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Or what about even Matthew Stafford, who just got that new situation, new dealy deal done yesterday?
Yep.
Because the thought was that he wasn't going to show up to training camp. And they said, no, we need our starting quarterback in camp. Get the deal done.
And that's why I have a hard time. Again, the Packers are telling me right now, by their actions. And this isn't, I don't believe, held by everybody. I think it could be different from the coaching staff. But because they're dragging their feet on this, they're telling me practice isn't important. Because the price is the price.
Yeah.
The price is the price. Just pay it. But apparently practice isn't that important. But otherwise, Jordan Love would be at practice.
Wasn't Aaron's last deal thought of as not a Packer-friendly deal?
Correct. But they did what they had to do in order to get their quarterback into camp.
And remember, same representation. Same agency. They're both with Athletes First.
Yeah.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have a big announcement coming up at the top of the hour. And that is something that is very exciting for the future of 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Stick around. Big announcement coming up. Plus, we've got Sophia Minnert coming up to talk a little Brew Crew. All that in the next hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.